Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't. You're no match for the powers of hell. And the urges of sin will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sins. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Jesus is enough. There's lots of parts that I love about that. And I think he does an amazing job of summarizing the gospel message. And of course, today, as we celebrate this historic, wonderful event, of course, it has a personal application. And that's why I love that clip, because it personalizes it for you and for me, doesn't it? And there's lots of things I love that Judah Smith mentions there. But the thing that really grabbed my attention was this phrase. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. And I guess I'd never thought of it like that before. But isn't that so true? And of course, today there's this personal application for each one of us, that as we reflect on who we are and how we respond to this message of Easter, that it has implications for all of us. Jesus loves Barabbas, and yet symbolically, I'm Barabbas and you're Barabbas, and God loves Barabbas. Romans chapter 5, Judah Smith mentions there, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or you could say it this way, while we were Barabbas, Christ died for us. Or you could say, while we were at our worst, God gave his very best. And what did God give? What was the currency? It wasn't silver, it wasn't gold, but it was blood. The most precious thing that he could give. As we read the Bible and read particularly the Old Testament, it sounds weird, let's be honest, to us, that blood was used to reconcile and take away the separation of sin from God's people through the killing of animals. And if you read it, it talks about sprinkling blood. And of course, we don't have to do that. And that's one of the things that is, that's the other part of the great message. As we read the Old Testament, we recognize that the incredible gift that we have is that we don't have to do that anymore. Because, and we've sung it this morning, Jesus became the perfect lamb for us. And if Good Friday was the love story, then Easter Sunday is the victory story. Jesus overcame, we've talked about it already, Jesus overcame sin and death. He won the victory. And we get to benefit, and we get to, of course, declare and celebrate that today. I'm not really into boxing, but those of you boxing fans, there was quite a big fight on last night, and you maybe have seen the news, and this guy, Anthony Joshua, never been defeated before. He wasn't defeated last night. I think you have to pay extra to watch it, and I wasn't really inclined to do that anyway, but he won the 21st fight of his career, and he's never been beaten. And this photo is the evidence that he is the winner, that he's the victor. And the evidence of winning boxing, not just fights, but of titles, are these belts. These are his trophies. And of course, the evidence for Jesus as the victor was not belts, but it was an empty tomb. And Colossians 2 says this: God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I love that. Today we celebrate the victory that Jesus had over sin and over death. There's a song that we sometimes sing by Darlene Check. It says these words: at the cross, the work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you, for you wear the victor's crown. And today, I want to encourage us to remember the power of the cross, but also, of course, the power of the resurrection. And as we close our time this morning, we'll celebrate some more, but we're going to take communion together for those of you who would like to do that. And I'm going to invite you to remember those two things, to remember the power of the cross and the victory and the resurrection. And there's a real sense this morning, and Claire mentioned it before she left, that we want to allow space and time for all of us to respond to God on this day. Of course, there's a sense that we respond together publicly, but there is also a sense that we respond individually as well. We'll do part of that by taking bread and wine, and we'll remember what Jesus has done for us. But I want to leave you some space as well for a moment. I heard a young man singing a song, and I thought I'd like you to hear it this morning as well. It's this young man here. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, maybe you would like to just close your eyes for a moment. This is a space in our often busy, crowded lives. This is a space, a moment, to allow the Jesus that we're celebrating to be here present amongst us, to encounter him, to know him. And then I'm going to invite you to come and take communion. I've got some friends of mine who are going to help us. They're going to give us communion today. Sometimes we come and take it for ourselves, but I felt this morning that we need to receive it. And so some people will help us with that in a moment, but let's just close our eyes first and listen for a moment.
Jesus, our Savior, and I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. And I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high. And I believe in God our Father. And I believe in Christ the Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now God is three in one. And I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in you. And I believe you rose again. And I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Yes, I believe in the name of Jesus.
Earlier when we were worshiping and before we got into considering some of these great truths that Matt's been telling us about this morning, I was just reflecting on how fantastic it is to be forgiven. You know, that feeling of forgiveness, that feeling of being let off, that feeling of just freedom that comes from it. And I got this sense from God this morning that there's some people here who are just trying too hard to be forgiven. You're just trying too hard. And God speaks to me a lot in simple pictures because he knows that that's what I'm like. I need something simple. And he showed me a picture of a pressure washer. Somebody getting a pressure washer out and trying to clean the dirt off the driveway, and the dirt just wouldn't come, no matter how much they put the pressure on. But it was only when a gentle stream came rushing over that driveway that it just lifted the dirt. And I don't know about you, when you've cleaned something that's really dirty, there's something very satisfying about seeing that just go away, all the dirt. And I got a real sense this morning that there's folk here, and you know the truth. You know that God wants to forgive you. You know that Jesus died so that you could be forgiven. But actually, you're just trying that little bit too hard. You're trying to be forgiven, whereas actually, you just need to stop and say, Jesus, you did it. When you said it is finished, it is finished. It's not for me to pick up again. Because when I ask for forgiveness, I just need to allow you to do it. And if that's the place that you're at this morning, and maybe when Claire was just inviting any of you here who have never known what it is to be in relationship with Jesus, maybe at that moment you were just trying too hard to do it in your own strength. But as we move on and as we break bread together, you know, if that's you, if you're in that place where you've never really known what it is to be forgiven, or whether you have in the past, but actually you've taken it back up again, and you need to allow God to affirm to you again that you are forgiven, not because of what you do, not because of what you can achieve, not because of what you can do, but because of what Jesus did. And it is so simple. But let's not allow today in this moment to move on from being set free and liberated.
Brilliant.